And good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN on this Monday morning. We're going to talk Parks and Rec in just a little bit, but we start things off first talking with the K-State College of Veterinary Medicine, as we do on the second Monday of each month. And today we've got Dr. Neela Boyer, Clinical Associate Professor in the College of Veterinary Medicine. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
It's wonderful to talk to you again. Of course, lots going on in the world right now, and we're going to be talking about separation anxiety in animals, and it may look a little different here than it has in previous years, just due to everybody being more at home lately.
That's right. I think I always like to talk about this time of year, because we do see a lot of issues with the college students heading away, whether it's the college student has the animal and now they're in class a lot more. We see that with our fourth-year students when they come onto clinical rotations, and their schedule changes pretty regularly, and that can definitely lead to some separation anxiety with COVID. Sorry to bring that one up again already this morning, but that also has brought about a lot of change. We're seeing a lot more questions from clients about how they deal with this when they go back to work. If they've been at home for a while, and a lot of people have, and a lot of people have already gone back and are already struggling with this. So it's something that is definitely, I think, a timely subject.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And for us, you know, so many people have been stuck at home, working from home, and you've developed routines with your family and your extended family being your animals. And that can be hard even for the pet owner, I would imagine.
That's right. I mean, I think the statistics, even on an average time frame, is about 20 to 40% of dogs will go to a veterinary behaviorist every year. 20 to 40% of the cases, I should say, that veterinary behavior specialists see in their practice are going to be separation anxiety related. So it's a very common problem, and it's one that a lot of general practice veterinarians are going to deal with as well with their clients, and we have a lot of training to do that.
Let's talk a little bit about what it might look like if you have an animal that is starting to experience some of these types of symptoms.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will definitely pick on dogs, although cats absolutely can have this problem too, and it often goes unrecognized in cats. In cats, it's usually inappropriate toileting, so litter box change is one of the more common ones that we see for signs or symptoms. With dogs, I would say overwhelmingly the most common sign that we will see is vocalization, whining, or barking, and it's usually within minutes of the person leaving the home. Definitely we see animals that have all sorts of things like inappropriate urination and stool. So in a dog that had previously been well house trained, all of a sudden they start going to the bathroom in the home. We see some really severe things from destruction of property, often around the windows and doors where the person has left the building, to the pet that is in a crate and will break teeth off and will damage their nails or hurt themselves trying to get out of that enclosure. So it can be the really severe signs, but sometimes it's the really more mild to moderate ones that go unrecognized, like the pet that maybe paces the whole time their person is gone. And if you ever watch one of these on video, it's really sad to watch them. They just walk back and forth in a straight line or in a circle in the home. Sometimes things like panting, drooling, so the person comes home and they realize, you know, something's been going on, but I'm not sure what. So video surveillance can be really helpful for some of these pets to sort of see what might be happening when you're away.
Is there anything you can do to kind of keep them calm when you're not around? Maybe have something, some sort of a, I don't know, an item in the house that they're comfortable with?
Yeah, it depends on the pet. Some of them, I mean, there are occasionally cases that another pet in the home or another human being in the home may be helpful, but there are some times where that's just not the case. They have a hyper-attachment to one or more people in their house, and if they're not there, it's very difficult for them. So there's a lot of adjunct things that we think about with managing these patients, so there's not really a one-size-fits-all. There are times that some kind of a white noise or a television or a radio being left on can be helpful for some animals. So those are some of the simple things that can be done. I do like a lot of these pets. The first thing is generally thinking about, one, do they have the condition? And that's not just going to be signs or symptoms, because a lot of the medical problems that pets can have can look like this. So the pet that starts urinating in the home or defecating in the home, the first thing is always to consult with your veterinarian about what's happening to make an appropriate diagnosis of the problem. So that's going to require an examination and usually some laboratory testing to make sure we're not missing a medical problem. And then from there, we talk a lot about what kinds of things can be done. So one of the things I think as a preventative measure, if you are working from home or you are getting ready to head off to school for the year, there are things like independence training that we recommend in your dog. So trying to have short departures from them throughout the day and throughout the week. And sometimes that can be on a graduated basis. Essentially, we try to look for signs of anxiety in those pets, and we try to pre-plan how long we can leave or increasing that time. A lot of times for many of us, we do things every day that we don't realize that we're doing. So picking up our car keys, our backpack, putting on makeup, and those things will sort of set the chain of events in motion where the pet begins to realize that we are leaving. So it's an awareness of how we go about our daily routine.
It sounds like the Pavlov thing.
It is very much. So we talk a lot about conditioning, and then in these patients that we have to break those things, it's desensitizing and counter-conditioning. So we essentially ask owners to perform some of those things that they would be doing before they leave the home and sort of mildly incorporate them into their daily routine, and we try to desensitize the pet to them so that they don't trigger it. So essentially, you would walk over, put your shoes on, and then go back and sit at the kitchen table and stay in the house, for example. So we do that several times a day with some of these pets to help them to understand that it doesn't always chain to leaving the home. We've had some people that completely change their routine. So a lot of these things, though, they are working in tandem with your veterinarian to design the appropriate plan for the pet.
Talking with Dr. Neela Boyer here in the College of Veterinary Medicine, clinical professor, and got a caller, I believe, with a question, and it is Robert on the line. Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, having seen the video where the penguin that was by itself, they used a recording of other penguins on a laptop to draw the attention of the penguin to ease its anxieties. I was thinking we use the video camera that's out on the internet with the dogs. When we're away, one of them will try to take its bedding out through the dog door, and we're able to talk to it while we're away. But what about if, like you say, if you videotaped your video, digitized yourself putting on the makeup randomly and talking on the phone or some other type of behavior, and made a 8-hour series, 10-hour series on your laptop or on your computer, your gaming computer, and then let it run while you're away, talking to anybody on the phone or talking to their dog or whatever presentation you made, the animal wouldn't know that you weren't still there. Thank you so much for your attention.
Yeah, thank you. So it brings to light a couple of things, and I guess, again, there's not a one-size-fits-all for every individual animal. With the big things, one thing I have seen is in pets with severe anxiety or distress is that oftentimes, unless there is the physical presence of their person near them, there's no consoling some of them. So that's one thing I would add. It doesn't mean, again, that that's not for some of the mild cases would not be effective. I've had times where, in general, I will try to tell people to be very careful about interacting via video if they are away from their animal, because I've seen some animals that were surveilling them to see how they behave. And initially, I will tell the person not to engage with them via phone or video, because for some of them, they become extremely distressed when they can hear their person or see them but can't get to them or close to them. So it just depends on the animal. So I guess that's one caution I would say. The other thing we want to avoid is with the desensitizing to like the pre-departure cues, like you're getting ready to leave the house, we have to be careful about not having the pet experience something called flooding, which is essentially having them continue to experience distress but not stop that. Because generally flooding is very ineffective in actually alleviating a behavior. Instead, we would use very, very short periods of time where we would condition them to the departure several times over the day, but we want to watch them very closely to make sure they're not showing signs of stress. Because if they are, we need to back up to a previous step and go more slowly for that pet.
All right. Yeah, good question there on from Robert. You know, I'm curious, is it true that dogs don't have a concept of time, and maybe this is why these behaviors kind of tend to be that way?
It depends on, again, every individual animal is different. We do see with a lot of these dogs when they greet their human, when they have severe separation anxiety, that they will greet their person as though they've been gone for years. It's this exuberant sort of greeting. And it's really kind of striking to their people sometimes where they say, wow, I was just gone for 30 minutes, and they act like I've been gone forever. So it definitely depends on the animal. And for many of them, it's an emotional and a mental health disorder where they have this severe level of anxiety, and they really, they don't have control over it fully. So it's our job to begin to help them to achieve that. And for many of them, that comes with your consultation with your veterinarian. We have a lot of really great certified professional trainers, even in our area, that can be very helpful for working with these clients on some enrichment activities and ways that we can help these pets to overcome this problem. Some of them, we're going to use medication, and so it's not to change their personality, to sedate them. The goal is to help them to reduce their level of anxiety. I think many of us can understand that if you're experiencing severe anxiety or distress, it's really hard to learn something new when you're in the face of that, almost impossible in some regard. So trying to help with reducing that is so important.
Hmm. We're talking with Dr. Neela Boyer here from the College of Veterinary Medicine. Need to take a break, but we'll come back and continue our conversation after this on News Radio KMAN.